Alan, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the very last Psalm, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. While you're turning, let me thank the ladies and gentlemen who helped us this morning with the color guard. Thank you so much, folks. We appreciate your help. And let me encourage you to be back in the service this evening at 7 o'clock. I was trying to think just a moment ago what I'm preaching on tonight, and I can't for life me remember what it is. But I'm preaching on something tonight. And if memory serves me correct, which I doubt it does, but if it does, it's good. So I hope you'll be here for it. I just can't remember what it is. Oh, I remember what it is. It's out of the book of Daniel, of all things, and it's not the message that I mentioned last Wednesday night out of the book of Daniel. It's something else that actually came to mind as I was teaching this last Wednesday night. We've been going through the book of Daniel on Wednesday nights, and while I was teaching the last part of the chapter Wednesday night, a thought came to mind, and that's... That developed a message around that premise, around that point. And so I hope you'll be back tonight. It will help you tremendously, and so I hope you'll be here. Now, this morning, I want us to look at this final psalm. This is the last of the psalms that are in this wonderful book that we call the Book of the Psalms. There are 150 psalms. They make up the Book of the Psalms. These were songs that were sung. They would sing these songs. All of them had music to them, and they would sing them by various occasions. And it is the hymnal of the Old Testament, if you will. And I want you to look at the beginning of the psalm, and we'll read down through it, and notice the tone of the psalm. He says, "Praise ye the Lord." Now, actually, that's been the tone for the last of several of the psalms, where the psalmist is just encouraging everybody and everything to praise the Lord. And he says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet." Now, that's the text verse that I'm going to use this morning, the text phrase that I'm going to build the message around. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I want you to go back to that third verse and notice that he says, "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet." You know, the trumpet is an amazing instrument. It's the loudest of the instruments that have been created and designed by man. The trumpet has its own peculiar blast, and its volume is greater than any of the other instruments. It shines forth. It is used and has been used throughout history as an instrument to rally the troops. It's an instrument that's been used to get us up in the morning and put us to bed at night. So it is interesting here that the psalmist says, "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet." Now, I want us to pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning on that subject, praising Him with the sound of the trumpet. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You so much for the Word of God. Lord, what a privilege it is to be here this morning and to be able to open the eternal Word of the living God and to be able to preach from its truths. And Father, I pray that You will bless us this morning in a great way. Lord, I pray that You will help us to understand the pictures and to see the point. And Lord, to realize, Father, who's in charge, and just to trust You, to look to You, and Lord, to not get discouraged when we see this old world crumbling around us. Lord, that we'll realize that Your plan is perfect. what you have designed and what you have said is going to come true and come to fruition just as it is written. And therefore, Lord, we should not get discouraged. Help us to put the trumpet to our lips and to praise you and to realize, Lord, who's in charge. Help us not to let our hands hang down. Help us not to put our harps on the willow tree. And Lord, may we just trust in the promises of the true and living God. Bless us richly, Lord. Give us ears to hear this morning, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This psalm closes the book of the Psalms. And I hope you noticed as I read it this morning that it is a call for everything and for everyone to praise the Lord. Now, in the third verse, there is a statement that I want to use as my text this morning. And the psalmist says in this third verse, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. The loud, blasting, exultant trumpet. I think, however, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world today, especially across America and right even here in our own church, I'm afraid that the trumpet of praise has been put in its case and has been locked away. I think instead of Christians today using the trumpet of praise, we have put the trumpet away and other instruments are being dragged out. And I think that we're more familiar with the sound of these other instruments than we are with the trumpet of praise. It seems to me like folks are more adept at these other instruments than they are at playing the trumpet. We hear the wail and the sob of the saxophone more than we hear the piercing and the blast of the trumpet. We hear those little tiny instruments, they call them flutes and piccolos and all those little high sounds and the clarinet. We hear some of those sounds, as we hear the chatter of discouragement and the chatter of complaints and murmuring instead of hearing the blast of the trumpet. I was thinking that we hear the pitch today from everywhere coming in the minor key. We are subdued today. We are hesitant as Christians today. We are hesitant as Christians today. We are full of doubt at every turn. You know, folks, the New Testament is a book of victory and conquest. But we are today, we are a bunch of people that are full of defeat and discouragement. And we seem to lack that note of confidence and joy that was the characteristic marks of the early days of the early church of Jesus Christ in the time of the book of Acts. Yes, the election did not go the way we wanted it to go. And yes, it caused discouragement to come across our hearts. And yes, the future of our nation does not look as bright as it once did. But wait a minute, we need to realize that that this is exactly the way the Lord Jesus told us it was going to go. I mean, I think somebody made a statement last night that there's never been revival in the world when everything was going just hunky-dory. The revival has always come when there was difficulty. The revival has always come when we didn't depend upon our 401ks or when we didn't depend upon how well the stock market was doing, and instead we had to depend upon God and lean upon Him for our every need. You know, we've lost the sound of the trumpet today. And I want to challenge you here this morning to put the trumpet back to your lips. Folks, I want to serve notice on you. Everything is all right in my Father's house. You need not be weary in well-doing. You need not be discouraged. That's exactly where the devil wants you to get. There are still people that are dying and going to hell quicker than we can stop the flow. And there is still the need for old-time fundamentalism where somebody stands up with the Word of God in their hand and says, hey, folks, thus saith the Lord. And we just cannot throw in the towel and get discouraged and quit. You know, there's an old Jewish legend that tells how every morning in heaven, and this is legend now, but the Jews are famous for their legends, and one of their legends says that every morning in heaven, there is a whole host of angels who all stand tall and blow the trumpet to start the day, to start each day. And they tell how one day Lucifer, the son of the morning, was asked after he was cast out of heaven what it was that he missed the most about no longer being welcome in heaven. And he responded the thing that he missed the most was the blowing of the trumpets each morning at the start of a new day. And folks, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the thing I miss the most in Christianity today. I miss that. I miss that trumpet being sounded in our lives. I miss that note of encouragement. I miss that note of confidence and courage. We are today marked by a note of sadness and discord. We are today marked by discouragement and by rush and by business and by busyness. And we have lost the joy that sounds throughout this psalm with its summons to praise God with the sound of the trumpet. Now, question, where did we lose this joy in serving Jesus? Where did we lose this? I think when we found ourselves so busy with the battles of life, and we then got our eyes off of the wonder and the glory that is God, and we then focused our eyes upon our own circumstances. I think that's where we lost the sound of the trumpet. I think when we got our eyes on the world and all the things that were going on around us, and when we lost that wonder and glory that is God, I think that's when the trumpet was taken from our lips. You know, folks, we seem to spend all our time examining our own conditions, and we haven't put our minds upon the things of the Lord. The effect of this is crippling. It is paralyzing Christians and churches everywhere. I get all these periodicals and all these magazines and all this stuff from people across the country, and we're spending our time today poring over statistics and numbers and offerings and attendance, and we have almost persuaded ourselves that the Church of Jesus Christ today is sick, and that it's anemic, and that it's decayed, and that it's dying, and the result is we are more in the mood for wailing and for crying than we are for shouting and for praising. We are more in the mood for mourning than we are for rejoicing. We're kind of like the children of Israel were when they sent those 12 spies out into the land to come back with a report. And when they came back, they were panic-stricken, and they gave this downer report to the people and said to them, there is no way we can go over there and conquer that land for our own. Why, there's giants in the land. I mean, they're like flies. There's so many of them. And the Scriptures tell us that when they gave their report, the Bible says it this way, they made the hearts of the people melt. They melted the hearts of the people. Their report took all of the spirit and all of the courage and all of the zeal and all of the energy out of the people. And it doomed them to a long and hard sojourn in the wilderness. For Moses knew that it would be futile to go up against the walled cities of Canaan with a discouraged bunch of people. And folks, I think that that's where the devil has been trying to lead the Church of Jesus Christ. I think that's exactly where the devil has in mind that all of us go, so that we'll be a discouraged bunch of people and not do for this country what needs to be done. Folks, listen, we cannot lose our enthusiasm for serving God. we cannot lose our zeal and our determination to win people to Jesus Christ and share with them the gospel message to keep them out of hell. We cannot get weary in well-doing, no matter who is in charge of this country. And I'm afraid that the great discourager has been busy in our world today and in our churches today. We have been hearing reports that the Church of Jesus Christ today is losing ground. We've been hearing reports that the world is winning in the fight. And the results of this election prove that we've lost the battle. And the result has been an impotence and a dispiriting. And all over America, the hearts of people are just literally melted within them. But now, folks, I want you to think about all of this and then realize the need for the blowing of the trumpet in our lives. I mean, when the church is blowing the trumpet, you go out and you go back and check history. When the Church of Jesus Christ is blowing the trumpet, she is invincible and she is irresistible. This was the church of the book of Acts, small and insignificant, but blessed with magnificent courage and confidence, and her members threw themselves against the world without fear. They praised God with the sound of the trumpet. They were vastly outnumbered. They had all the might and power of Rome behind their enemies, but yet they did not stop. They went out and they proclaimed the message of Christ. And brethren, you and I are sitting here this morning, saved and on our way to heaven, because they did not take the trumpet from their lips, but instead went out and praised the Lord. That the same thing was descriptive of the men that started a Reformation. The same thing was descriptive of the Puritans and of the Wesley boys and of the great revivalists of the late 1800s and early 1900s. I mean, even though they were vastly outnumbered by the world, they praised the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Now, what are some things that can tempt us to lay the trumpet down? I want to share with you a couple of things this morning that the devil is throwing against us, that he is trying to use against us to cause us to want to take the trumpet from our lips and put it back in the case. And I want to share a couple of things with you and challenge you that we ought to just keep on praising God with the sound of the trumpet. There are two things I want to give you this morning. I wrote down five things, but I figure you want to eat your dinner, your lunch this afternoon, so I won't give you five, I'll give you two. First of all, we are tempted to lay the trumpet down when we are faced with dark, dark days. And brethren, we are faced with dark, dark days. Our world is a mess. I'm not talking about just the United States of America. I'm talking about our world is a mess. We are a world today that has completely turned its back upon the God of heaven. We face a dark world. We are living in dark days. Many of you are going through dark days. I mean, listen, sickness or maybe the loss of your job or maybe the doctor has told you some bad report. Maybe the death of a loved one has just recently visited your home. I mean, maybe you have a rebellious child, and the list could go on and on forever. Folks, you think about it. There is darkness, spiritual darkness, that is everywhere we look. We can face troubles and trials that can certainly challenge our song. We can go through life and there are challenges that come before us. There is darkness that settles over us and it becomes real easy to lay down the trumpet when the darkness falls upon us. We are seeing that in our country. We are seeing a tone set in our country that has made it almost impossible for us to have the energy to lift the trumpet to our lips. We are seeing this tone set in our churches today. And it has certainly impacted everybody. It's not just something that is locally here or locally there, but it is a tone that is sweeping our land and has impacted everyone and has impacted us as well. I'm talking about a tone where there is an apathy. I'm talking about a tone where there is a carelessness. I'm talking about a tone where we look around and see the darkness and it overwhelms us, and we take the things of God and set them over here to the side and just focus and concentrate upon the darkness that we're in. I'm talking about a spirit of apathy and lethargy that has crept in to Christianity today. I'm talking about a loss of energy. I'm telling you, folks, we are in an age where there is spiritual darkness. We've lost the urgency today. There is that loss of urgency. And it's not easy when all these things come upon us and when all of this impacts us. It's not easy to raise the trumpet to your lips and praise God. But now, wait a minute, folks. Hold on just a second. I want you to go back to the 97th Psalm for just a moment. I want you to turn back to Psalm 97. Hold your place here where you are, but go back to Psalm 97. And let me read you what David says in this psalm. I want you to notice with me, please, in verse 1. Psalm 97 at verse 1. I want you to notice what David says here. He said, "The Lord," what's the next word? "Reigneth." That's present tense. The Lord reigneth. Hey, folks, the Lord reigneth. Yes, these are dark days, but wait a minute. David puts the trumpet to his mouth and cries, "The Lord reigneth." What then? Well, he cries, look at the rest of it. He said, "Let the earth," what? Why should you and I rejoice? I mean, I'll tell you why. Because the Lord reigneth. That's why. Hey, folks, look at me. It matters not what bunch is running the White House. It matters not who is sitting in the Congress. It matters not what's going on down here in Annapolis. We need to come to the realization that what matters is what God is doing. And my Bible says the Lord reigneth. God is still on the throne. And yet we walk around, like we drank a whole jar full of dill pickle juice. And how you doing? Well, I'm not doing very good. Why not? The Lord reigneth. I mean, folks, stop and realize that God is still on the throne. Put the trumpet to your lips and cry to a world that is perishing around us. Hey, folks, the Lord reigneth. Somebody's going to listen to you. Let the earth rejoice. Well, what then? Well, in spite of who sits in the White House, in spite of who sits in Congress, in spite of the spiritual dirt that is in our country, in spite of the tragedies that are abounding, in spite of all that is falling down around us, praise God with the sound of the trumpet. For if it is true, and it is, that the Lord reigneth, what do we have to fear? If it is true, and it is true, folks, it's written in the Word of God, which cannot lie, then what do we have to fear? If we would lay hold of that truth and understand that fact, we would never lose our song. We would never lose our song. Let the heathen rage. Let the people imagine a vain thing. God is still on the throne. Let Obama and Pelosi and Reed and Frank and Kennedy and Byrd and all the rest of them give away the farm to the illegal immigrants. Let them plunge our nation and into economic chaos with their tax and give to the social programs policies. Your eternity doesn't hinge on what the funny farm does. Your eternity hinges upon the fact that the Lord reigneth. Folks, God is still on the throne. Amen. So pick your chins up, all of them. Pick your chins up, put a smile on your face, get yourself armed with the Word of God, and just keep on keeping on for the cause of Jesus Christ. Your eternity doesn't hinge on who sits in the White House. Your eternity doesn't hinge on who's in Annapolis. Your eternity is based on the eternal truth of God Almighty. So you can rejoice, for the Lord reigneth. Folks, what I'm saying to you this morning is this. Don't let the darkness of this world steal your song. If the Lord reigneth, and again I say He does, you and I have nothing to fear. Don't forget, my brother and sister in Christ, listen to me, don't you forget this. I know I've said this a lot, but don't forget this. God has a plan. And you should not be surprised when, if you've read this book, you should not be surprised that our world is in the condition that it's in. I mean, the Lord Jesus said that it would be in the condition that it's in. I mean, the Lord promised us and told us in the Scripture, He told us, but He also told us, wait a minute, I have a plan, and this darkness is a part of the plan. I mean, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man cometh. All you got to do is read the Bible, and you will realize that everything is right on schedule. You say, but Pastor, no, listen now. Don't be sitting here making excuses for your discouragement and your depression and your apathy. Stop and think about it. Everything's all right. The Lord reigneth. So you just need to keep trusting in the Lord. I mean, this plan is God's plan, and in that plan, sin is defeated, Satan is destroyed and cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, and we, as the saints of God, will rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm saying, dear friend, you have nothing to fear. So put the trumpet to your lips and just praise the Lord. You know, we have gotten to the place where we have forgotten the end picture. And all we are seeing is the darkness of the hour. But when you see all these things come to pass, the Lord Jesus said, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. And I'm saying that we can't let anything keep us from putting Christ first in our lives. And we just have to understand that God is God and just keep moving on, trusting Him while we move. Secondly, we are tempted to put the trumpet away when we're faced with the power of sin. You know, we are today seeing the effects of sin upon our society like we've never seen before. Men today simply do not wish to retain God in their knowledge. Paul said it would be that way. Men just do not want to retain God in their knowledge. And because of this, we live in a world today that has lost its soul. We live in a world today that has lost its consciousness. Filthy language, filthy minds, filthy music, filthy television. I mean, we live in a world of perversion and schemers and cheaters and liars, and no one seems to have a conscience anymore to keep these things in check. And you know, when you see all this, it gets easy to lose your song, does it not? It gets easy to want to take the trumpet from your lips and lay it down and just say, what's the use? But brethren, listen, let me encourage you. The Scriptures tell us the might and power that sin has. The Scriptures talk about it. We should not be shocked when we see it. In Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul talked about not wrestling against flesh and blood, but wrestling against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, the Apostle Paul does not want us to underestimate the power of the enemy. But yet, while we should never underestimate the power of our great enemy, the devil, neither should we, as we confront it, whimper and whine like we're a bunch of defeated people. You see, the power of the enemy is great, but my Bible teaches me that the power of my Savior is greater. I mean, my Bible tells me that the power of sin is great and that it can get a grip and get a hold upon a soul. Hey, by the way, it one day had its hold on you. But can I remind you that it was the gospel that broke the power of sin and set you free so that you could live for God? Now, brethren, if that power could set you free, that power can set somebody else free. You see, that behooves us then not to get all down and discouraged. That behooves us then not to take the trumpet from our lips, but to just say, wait a minute, the need is great. And I have the answer, and I'm going to put the trumpet to my lips, and I'm going to blast that trumpet song, and I'm going to let everybody know whose side I'm on. I'm just going to let the trumpet blast for the glory of God. And brethren, it's time that the church got back to believe in that great truth. Oh my, I mean, the power of the enemy is great, but the power of the Lord is even greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know, these men that I was talking about a moment ago in the book of Acts, these apostles, when they confronted sin, they always confronted it with the trumpet to their lips. Can I remind you? Listen, on the eve of the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus was in that upper room with his disciples, and he served them communion. And he told them, he said, this is a picture of what I'm about to do for you. I'm about to go to the cross and die. Man, you got to imagine. You got to put yourself in the mind and in the heart. Did you drop this? You got to put yourself in the mind and in the heart of those apostles. Man, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be arrested." And oh my soul! For the last 3.5 years, they've been with him. For the last 3.5 years, they have watched him and they have listened to him and they have seen his miracle. I mean, and now he announces he's leaving. He says to them, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I can imagine that, you know, using the figure that I'm preaching from this morning. Can you see them? They're all sitting around that room, and he takes the cup and he takes the bread and said, this is a picture of my body which is broken for you, and picture of my blood that was shed for you. And man, they got the trumpets going. They got the trumpets sounding. And then all of a sudden I'm leaving, and whoa, down the trumpet goes. What? You're leaving? Oh, well, no. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now, he didn't just tell them, be of good cheer, and let it go at that. He said, be of good cheer, and then listen to what he said. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hey, folks, he hadn't even died yet. He was still sitting in that room with those men. How could he have already overcome if he had not even died yet? I'll tell you how. Because God has a plan. It was in the plan of God that Jesus was to go to that cross, and that he was to give his life on that cross for sinners, and that he was to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, according to the plan, he was to be resurrected out of that grave, and then he was to ascend to the Father. It was all in the plan, and it was as much done as if it had already happened. That's why he could say, be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. And folks, I want to stand here before you. I start to say sit, but I'm not sitting, I'm standing. I want to stand here before you today and give you the encouragement and let you realize that the plan is still in operation. I want to stand here today and tell you that this book in the plan tells me that one of these days Jesus is coming back, and it tells me that one of these days he's going to take the devil, he's going to take the false prophet, he's going to take the beast, and he's going to bind them, and he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. Sin will be defeated, the devil will be defeated, death will be defeated, and he will then wipe all tears from our eyes, and we will stand around through all eternity and say, I knew he was going to do it all along. Amen. It's in the plan. So folks, cheer up. Cheer up. I mean, my goodness, I don't like the way the election turned out. I mean, the thought of that of liberals running the country makes it chills me. It chills me. I don't like that idea. I don't like that idea at all. I don't like the idea that the perception is we're no longer a Christian nation. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea that liberal judges are going to be appointed and put in to make law. I don't like that idea. None of that appeals to me. None of that pleases me. I don't like the idea that that my 401, which is now a 101, might get taxed. I don't like the idea of that. I don't like that they might come and take it and stick it in Social Security. They've done wonders with Social Security, haven't they? Now they're going to take my retirement and they're going to put it in Social Security. I don't like that idea. I don't think that they should do that. There's a lot of things I don't like, but wait a minute. My happiness does not depend upon what they do down there. My happiness is connected to my relationship with the eternal God of heaven. And brethren, He has given us a book, and in this book is His plan, and it's not all about here, it's about Him. Amen. So cheer up. Put the trumpet to your lips. I mean, just make up your mind. I don't know how much time we got left, but however much time we got left, I'm going to live it for God. I'm going to live it for Jesus. I'm going to live it telling somebody how to get saved. I'm going to grab some old sinner by the hand and drag him out of the fire. I'm going to give the gospel and let that power of that gospel change somebody from death unto life and give them a new hope and a new meaning and a new purpose, just like somebody told me about it. The trumpet. The trumpet. That's the instrument that I want to see on our lips. That's the note that I want to hear. You know, in the Old Testament, they always blew the trumpet to proclaim victory and to praise God. They always blew the trumpet. We want courage and confidence and triumphant joy. And we will get it by laying hold of God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, listen, just put your eyes on the Lord. For if we believe that God was in Christ, there will be no doubt, no fear, no gloom, no doom, no despair. For if God was in Christ, then the Lord reigneth. Sin will be defeated. Goodness will prevail. And we will rule and reign with Him. Now the question is, do you believe that? Man, I do. I do. And now, if you believe that, put the trumpet to your lips. Lift up your head. Put the song of praise on your lips. Rejoice in the Lord. Let the song of hope and victory fill your heart that radiates out through your soul. Not one jot, not one tittle, this word is going to fail till it all be fulfilled. So folks, listen. Put the trumpet to your lips. Man, you got every reason in the world to rejoice today. Your eternity hinges upon God. And I just talked with Him a while ago. He's doing real good. You know, matter of fact, I've talked to Him several times this morning. And everything's all right in my Father's house. Let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are that we have an eternal book. How thankful we are for your blessings. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to put the trumpet to our lips this morning. Lord, it is so easy to just drop the trumpet, get discouraged, throw in the towel. And Lord, that's exactly what our great enemy, the devil, wants us to do. But Lord, our faith is not in politics. Our faith is not in the White House. Our faith is not in Annapolis. Our faith is not in slot machines. Lord, our faith is in the eternal, revealed truth of your word. And Lord, as I read this, I see the Lord reigneth. So, Lord, give us an encouraged heart this morning to live for Thee. And, Lord, no matter how things may get, no matter how things may develop, Lord, help us just to trust You and to know that You're God and just put You first in every area. Lord, we love You and thank You for loving us and thank You for the joy of serving Jesus. Now, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. No one looking around. How many of you here this morning will say, Pastor, God is speaking to my heart this morning, and I need that encouraged heart. I've let the devil take my song. I've lost my song. And preacher, God's dealing with my heart this morning, and God's touched my heart this morning, and I want my song back. And God's speaking to my heart. Would you lift your hand all over this building? Lift your hand and hold it up. Say, preacher, pray for me. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Let me ask this. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Dear friend, listen, God loves you. God loves you with an eternal, never-dying love, and He wants you to trust Him as your Savior. If you're here today and not sure you're saved, would you lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord. Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Let me pray for you and ask God to speak to your heart. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, our Father, we love you this morning and thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you will bless what has been said here this morning. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will move and work in our midst. And Lord, just open our understanding to the thought that was preached this morning. Lord, we need to put the trumpet to our lips and just give you praise and glory for who you are. The Lord reigneth. Father, I pray that you will stir our souls this morning. May we see these altars filled this morning with Christians that are just saying, Lord, put the song back in my heart. Oh, Lord, help us. And for these that aren't saved, Lord, may they come this morning and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, do a work and save souls this morning. Do what only you can do in our hearts and send us revival, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 277 in your books, please. 277. And let's stand together and sing our invitation hymn this morning. And if God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to step out and come and pray. If you can't kneel, just walk down here and stand, or walk down here and sit on the front row. That's fine. But whatever it is, let God have His way. Let God move and let God stir your soul. Let's sing it.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Sing that next verse, please.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you.
Bow your heads with me, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The invitation is always open, and I trust that you'll give thought to what you've heard this morning. Be much in prayer for our country. Be much in prayer for our leaders, and be praying that God will be merciful to us, bless, keep us free. Folks, we need to pray for this week. We're having Soul Winning Directors College here on Wednesday evening, Thursday, and Friday morning, so be much in prayer for that. We got some preachers and church folks coming from all over the area, so Please pray for that. And let's not get weary in well-doing in serving the Lord. All right, let's stay with it, stay faithful, and be in our place and trust God's perfect plan to be executed and carried out. All right, Father, thank you so much for your love and grace, and I pray that you will bless what's been said here this morning. Lord, give us, I pray, faith to trust you and trust your word. And Lord, may in all things the Lord be exalted and lifted up. Father, help us now to have a great afternoon. Bring us back tonight and bless the service tonight. May your blessing and power be upon our evening service, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.